Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the Old Testament lesson from Proverbs. And while we look at Proverbs, I'd like us to focus on the family. That's the title of our sermon this morning. Focus on the family. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dearly beloved in the Lord, during this month of June, we have begun to think about and talk about family. I'd like to do that again today. Is it all right if today we think about God's revelation to us regarding family? Don't you love it, though, when pastors ask like you have any choice? We're going to talk about family. And here's why. First of all, it's Father's Day, so why not? Second of all, because I would make this claim, there's a lot of news going on. And in the news and in the issues that we see ourselves in as a nation, I would suggest to you that the implications are significant with respect to the family. And then finally, as we hear wisdom calling to us to join her in her feast and to learn from her, would I have to work hard to convince you that if there is any place where we need wisdom, it's in our role, whatever it is, in family. Family matters. That's what we started this month with. We've seen from God's Word the significance of family. So if you'll remember, we've noticed on Trinity Sunday that God Himself, the one true God, is actually a family of three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when God created all things, He finally, at the end, created man and woman. In His image, He created them. And He told the man and the woman to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth and to subdue it. That's not something we just kind of speed past. Think about it. There, God instituted family, and there He instituted family before the fall. This is the institution created in paradise. The Ten Commandments. I would like you to consider this, that as we look at God's law to us, the summary of His command and His wisdom laid out for us in the Ten Commandments, I want you to see how family is featured. So first, in the first three commandments, we think about our relationship with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then the very next relationship, as we see how our relationship with God plays out here on the earth, notice that the first relationship that's discussed is family. Honor your father and your mother. All of us have one of those. And then as you look at the rest of the commandments, I would again submit to you that either explicitly or implicitly, family is featured. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, nor anything that belongs to your neighbor. You should not covet your neighbor's house. Family. So we need to see that God protects, orients everything towards family, because from the very beginning, as he set this in motion, he designed things this way, that one man, one woman should be bound together, and that children would be the result, and that in this institution of family, all of the world would be sustained and blessed. It's the Word of God. No wonder then that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature takes family and puts that right square in the crosshairs. Look at all of the issues we're dealing with as a society. As we see and lament the problems, it's so easy to focus on elections and to say that, you know, the problem is government and policies. But I don't care who's been in the office, it's still a mess. The issue is truly a breakdown in the family. So pick an issue. No-fault divorce. That's an attack against family. A hookup culture where people sleep with whoever they want, whenever they want, is an attack on the family. Same-sex marriage is an attack on the family. Abortion is an attack on the very beings that families are created to sustain and protect. So as a society right now, one of the big issues that we're dealing with and should deal with is racism. Finally, we're at this point, it seems like, as a society where the conversation is being had. Maybe, for sure, racism is still an issue and it needs to be dealt with. But I want you to notice that I don't know why this happens, but there seems to be in the public discourse, there seems to be like two camps, that the way it's seen is that if you are interested in civil rights, if you're interested in addressing injustice perpetrated against race, then also you need to defend things like same-sex marriage. Notice this. From 2007 to 2010, 36% of abortions took place with African-American mothers. But only 13% of the population is African-American. 21% of abortions were with Hispanic people. 7% with other minority groups, which means that 64% of abortions were performed on persons of color. Percent of Planned Parenthood surgical facilities are within walking distance of Black and Hispanic communities. We should be talking about the issue of injustice and race. What I want you to notice is that connected to this is attacks on the family. We want to talk about systemic racism. Can we also talk about the fact that abortion is part of that system? And let me just back up and I guess say this. I mean, these are obviously charged issues in our society right now. What I'm asking for us to do as a people of God is to at least understand that this attack on the family, there's no wisdom in it, and to pretend like it's not happening, to ignore these things, there's no wisdom in that either. This matters. Now, if we can at least acknowledge that this really is a problem and be willing to entertain and think about and talk about God's revelation. His plan was one man, one woman, children supporting the family. And then when we look at what we've got, then here's the other thing that is really, this needs to be talked about right here. There is absolutely no room for anyone here to be in a position of superiority or to be condescending to be judgmental. We as a church body say abortion's wrong, and yet, you know how many Christian Lutheran parents I have heard disparage their children and talk about, man, what a problem, what a burden they are? How many people treat children like this thing that when you're ready for, or when it's convenient, that's the time to have children? And then when they're inconvenient again, you just kind of want to put them in their place. It's real easy for us to point fingers at those who have been divorced if we're not. And yet, you know how many Christians I hear disparage their spouse? Talk about the old ball and chain. We will so easily point out the sin of homosexuality, and yet so prevalent in the church are people who live together outside of marriage. And I want you to notice this, that it seems like here's the way we think. As soon as someone we know or love is doing something outside of God's will, that's the time where we say, well, maybe it's not so much of a problem. My grandkids are living together outside of marriage, and I love my grandkids, so maybe it's okay. If we there is no place for us to stand in superiority or to judge or to point fingers against other people. When we ourselves, how can I be an authority here when I've got my own issues? I mean, the fourth commandment. How often, how easy to speak poorly and to disparage our parents. The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. If we aired everyone's sin against the sixth commandment here in this room, the roof would blow off for the stench. I guess what I'm saying is that if we were as the church to judge others and point fingers at other people, there'd be no wisdom in that. If we were to be here to condemn people, then there is no wisdom in that. If we were to think less of someone else because they see things differently, there's no wisdom in that. We need help. Today, as we think about, as we focus on the family, here's how we approach it. God's word is clear. This isn't their problem. This is our problem. It's a mess. Lord, have mercy. Have you noticed how often in the divine service we say, Lord, have mercy? There's a reason for that. Come before the Lord and to acknowledge that His word is clear. To come before the Lord in an attitude of repentance and humility. Well, here's how the Old Testament lesson spoke about that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is insight. And so I guess I'm saying today, if you are satisfied, if you're more concerned with pointing fingers at other people, I have no word for you. But if you see that you are a person of unclean lips who lives amongst a people of unclean lips, if you are humbled by the truths of what you see, if you desire simply to hear what God has to say, then I have a word for you. Here's the first word. Your family is a good gift from God. I'm talking to someone right now who looks at the dysfunction and thinks all is lost. I'm here today to tell you, your family is a good gift from God. And here's actually where theology, doctrine is so clear and so wonderful. Book of Concord, that is the confessions of our church body. Anybody here have a Book of Concord? If you don't have a Book of Concord, sell everything, go buy one. It's so enlightening, and here's just one example. In the Book of Concord, there is a section called the Solid Declaration, and in the Solid Declaration, it talks about sin and original sin. And the confessors say this, that our created nature is not sinful. And that might be surprising because we sometimes think about and talk about our nature itself being sinful. It's not. Here's what the confessions say. Our nature was created by God, and so that it's good. Now, sin is real, and here's what happens. Sin is sort of like leprosy. Leprosy is this foreign sickness, this disease that gets connected to our skin. That's sort of the illustration that the Book of Concord uses. And the idea is that with leprosy, the sickness, the disease, and the flesh become... You can't really see the difference, and yet the disease and the flesh are two different things. And I think this is a good place to start. That I know that in your family, there is messes, there is dysfunction. But what you need to know first and foremost is your family is still a gift from God, and your family of itself, the sin is not what's inherent to your family. It's a problem. We got to deal with it. But the sin is not our family. Our family is a gift. It is a gift. And then there's this. Christ has come to bring healing and health to what God has created. He has come to redeem us. He has come to save us from our sin. Christ has brought his reign into the world. So in the gospel lesson, we heard a man say, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Not realizing that this isn't something we're looking forward to in the future alone. Jesus, the very Prince of God, is sitting right there with him. The reign of God, the kingdom of God, was sitting right there at the table with him. And if he would listen, he would hear and participate in the work of Christ who brings healing and hope and life. I don't know how everything's going to play out in our families. But we do know this. God gave up his son for us. We do know this, that Christ is wisdom incarnate. He rules all things with wisdom. Where we have failed, he does not. He has come to reign, and he's doing something about the problem. And then finally, I do know this. I don't deserve anything. I certainly don't deserve anything from God. And yet, here's the mystery of the gospel. The one from whom we deserve nothing gives us everything. Stop and think about that for a second. The one from whom we deserve nothing gives us everything. I might not know how things are going to play out in my family, but I know I'm in a good place. I know God is giving me all good things. I know that right here and now, we eat bread in the kingdom of God. And that's what I want you to come away with today. I want you to know and be certain. Family matters. Your family is a gift from God. And I know you're concerned. God is doing something. Some of it we maybe can see and spell out, some of it not. But we can be sure that it is good. Outside in the world, it is pure foolishness. Jesus Christ is calling to you today with his wisdom. He is inviting you into his household and to his reign. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. And so here we are. As you come to the altar, if you don't come to the altar, still gathered here, pray for your families. Pray that God would have his way. Pray that God in his wisdom would change you, would start with you. And then rejoice in this. Today, God is not calling you to panic. He's calling you to, well, pray. Despite any circumstance, this is how it goes with God. He's not calling you to fear. He's calling you to feast. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.